and you can't stop me. September 26th, we're going to have a parents' night out. You can call it a date night, if you will. I have tricked a bunch of the young adults and several of the teenagers to stay here at the building and watch our kids while we can go out and have a night off. And so I just want you guys to put that on your calendar, September 26th. If you have kids, you want to drop off here, they'll be fed, they'll be entertained, hopefully, by our young adults. So yes, put that on your calendar. The question I want to begin with, and the question I want Chris to write down, when do you seek alone time with God, and where do you go? Where do you go to find that alone time, that sacred solitude with your Creator? And the trick is, it can't be on Sunday. You cannot bring up Sunday. I want you to pick another day, any day but Sunday. When do you, well, you don't actually have to answer, Tommy. Jeez. Save it for the devotional, buddy. When do you seek your time with God? When do you escape from the social interactions and the demands to simply talk to God? You know, as a kid, I feel like we have the best hiding spots. You know, when you play hide and go seek or you play sardines here at the church building, we're always able to find those nooks and crannies in a building where no one is able to find us. Whether that be under the bunk beds or in a cabinet or in a closet, I was so good at hide and go seek, no one would ever find me. Again, I don't think anyone was looking, but I would be gone for days and my mom would even notice. That's how good I was. As children, we are great at finding those little points of solitude. And sometimes we even find those when we don't want to, when we are left alone. But as we grow up and as we gain responsibilities and we come to our own, we kind of forget the need to be alone. We want to surround ourselves with as many people as possible. You know, it's amazing when you actually read, and Facebook is a source of a lot of research. I love researching Facebook and what it's doing to our culture and what it's doing to our society as a whole. And you see how Facebook was built to grow that list of people that you can surround yourself with. It was supposed to fix this problem with being lonely. And yet here we are. You know, we have Facebook here. We have more social outlets than we know what to do with. And yet we still feel alone. But that is, I want to talk more specifically about this idea of being alone with God, about putting away all of those social distractions and dedicating your time to God. Now, this can be a hard thing for extroverts to do. And I am an extrovert. And what I mean by that is I gain energy by being around people. I love being around people, so much so that I know I can be annoying at times. But I love being around people. I want to be in the center of the conversation. I want to crack jokes. That's why I'm in ministry, unfortunately. I want to be with people. I want to be in the middle of people. I want to hear their stories. And it's difficult for extroverts like me to find and to seek out those times to be by yourself. Whereas I feel like introverts, they gain their energy by being by themselves. But I feel like the problem still persists. Do you take time out not to focus on yourself, but to focus on God? To focus on what He is doing in your life? To focus on what He is telling you to do by looking to Him for the direction in your life? You know, in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 5, I want you guys to turn there. We find Jesus in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is discussing, he's talking about prayer. He's talking about, I think it's Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. There we go. We see Jesus talking to this crowd of people about how to be countercultural. And he's giving them directions on how to be angry and how to be appropriately angry and how to solve this conflict and how you should treat one another. And in this, we have this teaching about prayer. And I want to start in verse 5. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Notice that Jesus makes a specific request for concise prayers. He wants you to get to the point. Don't fill your words, don't fill this conversation with meaningless phrases, with words you don't mean. Be concise. But you must find your inner room. You must find that spot in your home, that spot in your heart where you can dedicate time solely to God. You know, I still have her now. And she has a problem. When she called, it was something that we always dreaded. Because we knew that whoever picked up that phone would be talking to her for the next hour. And just talking about everything. As a kid, I dreaded this. I did not want to be handed the phone if she was on the other end. I wouldn't hear the end of it. I couldn't make excuses because she would talk over me. She did not know how to be quiet. As soon as I got older, I realized that this was her way of communicating with me. This was her way of simply connecting, building that relationship with me. See, God knows what we need. We don't need to convince God of why we need or want the things we do. See, Jesus reminds his disciples of the importance of seeking a deep, meaningful relationship with God. It's a relationship that requires your time, your effort, and your resources. God wants a relationship with each and every one of us. He does. He spends and he sends us this book, this narrative, this story, this love letter to us to demonstrate that he wants a relationship with each and every one of us. But it requires something on our part. It requires time. It requires our resources. It requires effort. See, we have been asking you as a congregation, as fellow disciples, as fellow members here of the Ventura Church of Christ, to invest in the people around you through small groups, through outreach, and through intentional ministry. All of these things require your time, energy, and resources, and can be quite demanding, and we appreciate that. On behalf of the leadership, we can appreciate how demanding it is to ask all of you during those sacred spare time that you have to invest in the relationships that you have with people around you, to be intentional in your ministry with them. We appreciate how demanding that is. But we understand that God is asking us to prepare you for your ministry. And so that's why I want to look to Jesus to see how he was able to juggle ministry and his relationship with God. And the first place I want to look is John chapter 6, starting in verse 14. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Now, I know that we entered into that story halfway. We entered into that story in the middle of a bunch of stories where Jesus has just fed the 5,000 and Jesus is just about to walk on water. And Jesus is dealing with these crowds who are confusing the real reason God sent his son in the first place. See, they thought God would send his son to cure all of their problems, to fix their hunger, to fix the issues that they had. But Jesus wasn't about that. So when these people confronted Jesus, this person who has just fed them miraculously and wanted to make him king, Jesus withdrew to a mountain by himself. And this is what I find amazing. People wanted to make him king. And instead of accepting that praise, and instead of glorifying in it, he withdrew. Do you remember to thank God when things just seem to be going your way? And I don't mean when you have a good day. I'm talking about when you won the lottery, when things are going really good in your life. Do you take the time out to thank God, to talk to God? Now, I have preached many what I feel to be moderately good sermons in my life, but I have never preached a sermon so well that people wanted to make me president. It's never happened. Never happened. This, Jesus is asking us to interrupt our life and dedicate that time to God. To interrupt that good time and dedicate that time to God. He wants us to stop, and thank him. Talk to him. Discuss this with him. When things are going good, he wants to hear you. He wants to listen. He wants to know why they're so good. If things are going excellent in your life, God should be the first person we would want to tell. And then our spouse, and then our kids. God wants to hear from his children. In Matthew chapter 17, we find the story of Jesus and how he transfigures himself in front of James, John, and Peter. And we know this story. I don't want to read all of it because it's lengthy. If that can be your homework for tonight. But many of us are familiar with it. Jesus takes his close disciples, James, John, and Peter, and he takes them again to a mountainside. But instead of being by himself, he transfigures himself in front of his close disciples. And he invites Moses and Elijah, and they have a powwow on a mountaintop. And they discuss. I don't know what, but they seem to discuss a lot. Even the most introverted person must allow people into their special moments in their life. Being introverted is not an excuse to exclude yourself from family and from community. Being that need to be by yourself, that does not allow you to exclude everybody from your life. We need each other. Jesus wanted to convey a simple point to his disciples that Jesus is all you need. Jesus is all you need. I love in that story where Peter, again, seems to interrupt Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And he says, this is good for us to be here. Please let me build little tabernacles for all of you guys. And then God has to interrupt Peter by telling him, be quiet. Jesus is all you need. Just focus on Jesus. Listen to him. And our message, our call is the same. You need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need him. We need Jesus Christ in our life. We need him more and more. And the great thing about our congregation is we sing about this all the time. But maybe we just need to look at each other, hug one another, and just say, man, I need Jesus. I know you need Jesus too. We need him desperately. And Jesus brings his close disciples, and he shows them. He shows them who he truly is. And they get to see God through that experience. They get to see him. They get to hear him, listen to him. And that's what I find incredible. Finally, in Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 32, many of you know this. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I want you to listen to this. In the context of what we're talking about, I want you to read this, listen to this passage. And they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took with him Peter, James, and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. This is a product of years of relationship building with God. This is a product of many, many times taking a step out of his life and dedicating that time to God. So it was very logical for Jesus, when he is going through the worst parts of his life, to stop, take time out of the craziness that is going to be the rest of Jesus' life, and talk to God, and take time alone with God, and to just be with God. It was an act of habit to him. See, anytime you need something, you go to God. This is what Jesus knew. This is what Jesus had been telling his disciples this entire time. Anytime you need something, you go to God. Anytime something is happening, you go to God. Anytime you're given something, anytime something is taken from you, where do you go? You go to God. You seek him out. You go and find him. You discard everything else and you focus on your Creator. You go to God. Don't wait for the days you need God to need God. Don't wait for those days to come. Need God right now. Take those times out of your life. Find him. Talk to him. Hand him your suffering. Give him your hurt. Talk to him about the struggles that you find. Talk to him about your sin. Talk to him about forgiveness, about mercy, of showing mercy to others, about receiving mercy from others. Talk to him about the conflicts you have in church, with church, because of church. You talk to God. You find him. Jesus does all of this. And I picked out the spots where I see Jesus dedicating those times to building a relationship with God. But within those stories, we see what he is doing with his disciples, with his apostles, and the conflicts that he had to go through. But finally, regardless of the amount of time you spend alone with God, you must come down from the mountain and confront your responsibilities. Jesus came down that mountain alone, and he walked on water. He walked on water to his disciples. He walked across, and then, finally, he sailed across the lake and confronted that same crowd that he fed, and yet they still didn't understand the whole reason why Jesus fed them in the first place. They didn't understand that God didn't come there just to solve their hunger. He came to solve their sin problem. He came to solve eternity. You must come back to reality and deal with your problems. In Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus comes back down from that mountain, after transfiguring himself before his apostles, he sees what the rest of his apostles have been doing. There's a child that can't be healed, that his apostles have been trying in vain to heal this guy, to heal this child. And Jesus responds by saying, "How much longer do I have to be with you guys?" You have to confront your reality. You have to come back down and confront your problems. And you must deal with your hardship. Jesus spends his time alone in Gethsemane, 3 times praying to God. With so much anxiety, he's sweating blood. And he comes back, he comes away from that garden ready for the next step of his life that will end his life, the crucifixion. He comes away ready to deal with his hardship, ready to deal with his suffering. Our times alone with God are necessary when facing the good times and the not. Our times alone with God are necessary when facing the good times and the not so good times. We need a one-on-one relationship with God before we ask others if they would like one as well. As a leadership, we are asking you, we are pleading with you, borderline commanding you to share your faith with others, to take this church atmosphere outside of this building, to look at your friends and point blank tell them your story. Tell them that you love Jesus Christ, that you love God, and you believe that God loves them as well. We have been pleading with you over the last several weeks, and we will continue to plead with you for the next several weeks to share your faith. But that requires you to have a relationship with God as well. To develop that relationship so that when people see it, they will be changed by it. We must demonstrate that relationship to others. We cannot keep it hidden. We cannot keep it just to ourselves. When Jesus went onto the mountain, when he went up there and he was seeking his alone time, when he was seeking those times to recharge his batteries, he knew he had to come back down. He had to face ministry. He had to face people, the reality of his situation, and finally, his own suffering. So I want to encourage you that as we ask you to share your faith, to talk to others about small groups, to yourself be a part of a small group, as we ask you to challenge yourselves to step out of your comfort zones, to step out of what you have become used to, I want you to go to God. I want you to go to God with your anxiety. I want you to go to God with your conflict. I want you to go to God with your questions, and I want you to seek his answers. I want you to go to God. Will you pray with me, please? God, we come to you tonight. We thank you for choosing us. We thank you for giving us the responsibility to reach out, to love, to this neighborhood. God, we may not have all the answers ourselves, but we know that you do. Lord, and all we want to do is draw people closer to you. We want to point them into your direction. We want to point them to your Son. And we want to love them and serve them in any way. God, we thank you for the community that you've given us here. within this building and those who are not able to meet tonight. Father, we thank you for the community, this church body that you have provided for us, that we don't have to be alone and we don't have to be lonely. But God, help us seek those times with you where we can talk with you more, that we can develop a deeper relationship with you. God, we thank you. We pray this in your Son's most holy name. Amen. Will you please stand and sing?
A new song too, so I've lost control.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would